everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Motivation Monday. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. If you don't know, I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and I also the Sales Manifesto. And
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of this book right here, best-selling book, Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everybody?
I hope you had a great weekend. We went to see Frankie Valli.
That happened.
The 80-year-old Four Seasons.
Okay, so you guys, here's the deal. He was really, really good.
But he lip-synced a little.
Like, almost too good.
Yeah.
Like, as good as he was back in the day. So I got this idea, because we were sitting in the fourth row. I'm like, I think he's lip-syncing. And I didn't want to ruin it for the stranger next to me. So instead, I just asked Jeffrey.
You just ruined it for me.
Right? And I'm like, do you think he's lip-syncing? And then all of a sudden, Jeffrey's like, oh.
It's so a controversy.
We started
it's
to Google it.
It's a controversy, yeah. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But the bottom line is, who cared?
It didn't matter because we had a lot of fun. We were singing, we were dancing. Yeah. You know, he gave this talk in the middle of his show.
Yeah.
And he was plaid.
Apolitical.
What do I mean by that? He said some things that were a little bit Democratic and some things that were a little bit Republican. And he mixed them all together to get the best of both worlds. And he talked about the need for harmony in this world. And whether you were in that moment, whatever political side you were on, you loved him.
Yeah, sure.
Because he said things that could relate to you no matter what. And I hate when I go to these seminar tours where I go to concerts and the person in the front of the stage gets political because half the time they might share my view, which I'm not telling what it is, and the other half of the time they might not share my view. And I just think it's an inappropriate thing to bring up.
It like
annoys me.
But
I thought how he did it was so tasteful. And then he actually definitely sung that harmony song. That was all him. That was a new song. I don't think he had pre-recorded tracks on that.
So we got a great show coming up. We have one of the biggest things that stops motivation dead, which is pretty interesting, and the 5 tips to keep momentum for millennials rolling. Sales momentum for millennials. So if you're under the age of 50, which I think is where the millennials stop, isn't it?
Technically, it's 37.
37, that's what I said. Jen is a millennial. Isn't that interesting?
I am, yes.
Yeah, I'm a bicentennial. And... but I've always been a bicentennial. And you're going to have to keep sales momentum going. But I dare say that it's probably the same for other people. We'll let you know when we get to that.
That's a good call because I don't want you to tune out if you're non-millennial. You can probably learn something
first,
from that too. Did we even tell? Like, if you're new to our show.
You share this.
Yeah, you do share this. But if you're new to our show, this is Sell or Die.
Oh.
And this is the best damn sales and personal development podcast out there.
Drinking the best Death Wish coffee on the planet.
All right. So I think it's time for what you were saying now. Nada, let's hit it. Share this. What do we got?
First one.
We're scrambling.
No, we're not scrambling on a Monday. Come on now.
Guys, this is your reminder to share this episode. Share it out with your friends, your colleagues, people on your team, because we have some cool memes coming up.
Just share
not
with
your enemies.
You got a list. Hit share.
All right. Let's check this out.
Let's
what do we got?
First sales meme. The sales rep when he's starting the new job, Leonidas from 300. And then after 6 months,
exactly.
I might just want to be on his couch and
exactly.
drink a beer or two or something like that. So I know you love that, Jeffrey. I know
that's classic. So make every day like it's your first day on the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And stop knowing everything and just start being enthusiastic.
You can still take a little cat nap here and there, but you got to feel like that warrior every single freaking day. I love it. What's next, Nada?
The next one, I think this is your cousin, Jeffrey.
Oh, look, Mark Gittimer is here.
Exactly. Oh, cool. So again, a guy that is like 31 and says he feels great and just looks completely just not that stressed out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, that actually for real, legit, looks like my great grandpa.
Cool.
Oh, man, I freaking love that. Everyone should feel like they're 30, no matter, you know, if they're 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever.
So shout out to Mark Gittimer, who is
my
first cousin.
Shout out Mark Gittimer, who's actually here. We've got Leo. What's up? We haven't seen you in a while. Welcome back. Doug, Alex, Wes. Oh, man, I love this. Melissa, Callie. Hey, guys. Hey. All right. What's the last one?
And again, if you're an 80s fan, you probably get the idea of where this is going. But Lionel Richie. Are you looking for leads? And again, I love the diehards entirely too much to sing the chorus to this, so I'm not going
please,
to.
Please, thank you.
Do it, Nada.
No,
do it.
Come on,
Nada.
Nope,
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 nope, nope. Nope.
Nope, nope.
Can we play?
We have our phones lit.
Good Lord. No one wants that. Trust me.
Okay.
They did that at the Frankie Valli concert this
weekend.
Yeah,
they all lit their phones.
Where everyone had their flashlight up, and we turned around because all the people were behind us. It was so cool to see. Like, it was really cool.
It was a fun concert, I have to say. It was nostalgic. Jen's hearing songs for the first time. I'm hearing them for the 500th time. And it was...
I knew, like, 80% of the songs.
It was just very well done. It was professional. It was very energetic. You know, Frankie has lost a little bit of a step. I think he's pushing 80. But he was there, and he did it. And he did a great job.
He really did. Yeah, he did. I highly recommend it if he comes to
your band
town.
Was great. The backup singers were great.
Oh, yeah, they were
everybody
phenomenal.
Everyone played to the top of their capability.
That's right. All right, we have a few other friends here. Tom, what's up? Visal, hey. Oh, this is so awesome. Make sure you say hi to us. And happy Monday. All right, so we have a topic.
What is it?
This topic normally kills motivation. It normally kills your sales. It normally kills your bank account.
What could it possibly be,
Jen?
It
is a soul-crushing topic, and that's why we're here today to conquer it, okay? The topic is fear.
Ooh,
it's
fear.
Getting out of your fear, getting out of your own way that you can make it.
There's a famous quote by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The quote is, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard from a president of the United States. No one ever knows what it means. And they play it all the time like it's some famous stupid-ass thing. Most of the time, fear is false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
Armies are moved based on fear, not based on action. And so you have to look at this from the perspective of, what are you afraid of? Remember when you were a kid and you looked under your bed? Remember?
Yeah, I looked in my closet, too.
Last, one of the television shows, I don't want to mention what it was because it was my political persuasion, but the big guy was on, and the commentator said, he's so big that people look under the bed for him.
Oh, anyway. Jeffrey.
anyway. So,
okay, but here's the deal. Sometimes you don't know that fear is actually getting in your way. Sometimes you feel stuck. Like, let's say you're in cold calling mode, and this morning you have to make a bunch of cold calls, and you're doing all the things instead of making the cold calls. You're going to the coffee shop. You're finding a nice place to work. You are doing whatever it is that you want to be doing to distract yourself from actually doing the thing you need to be doing because fear is getting in the way. But you don't want to admit to yourself that you're scared to make the calls. Mm-hmm. So you give yourself some sort of excuse, some sort of belief that you come up with that that like tries to protect your ego and protect your identity, because that's what we all do. Sometimes we don't want to admit that we're actually fearful of something. So the first step in conquering fear is identifying that you have a fear. It's recognizing and admitting to yourself that there's something you're scared of, whether it's cold calling, prospecting, networking, actually asking for the order, following up for the 10th time because it feels uncomfortable that you're following up for the 10th time, whatever that thing may be.
So the easiest way to identify it is to look at something in your life that you fear right now. Let's say you have to give a talk or a presentation to 10 people or 100 people. Why are you afraid? Why do you have anxiety? Why are you nervous about it? And the answer is you're unprepared. You're afraid you're going to be asked a question, or you're afraid you're going to stumble, or you're afraid you're going to look bad, or whatever it is, but you have a fear because you have not conquered the message. Not yourself, it is the message. And look at all the things that you do. Why are you afraid to make a cold call? Why are you afraid to go to a networking event? Why are you afraid to do more prospecting? And the answer is you're most likely unprepared. That's one of the root causes of fear.
Yeah, so you need to ask yourself. I totally agree with that, the unprepared factor.
Thanks,
Jen. Yeah, no problem. My pleasure. But you also need to ask yourself,
what the heck?
What's the worst that could actually happen? If I pick up this phone right now and I try to make this cold call, what's the worst that could happen? Let's say the worst thing that could happen is the guy hangs up on you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big deal.
The guy doesn't want to meet with you or the girl
up.
Or whatever. He, yeah. Okay. Well, guess what? By not picking up the phone, you're getting the same result. By not showing up to the networking meeting because you're scared to go to the networking meeting, you're getting the exact same result. Because this fear is overcoming you and holding you back. And so now if you realize what's the worst that could happen, I might not make any connections. I might go to that meeting and maybe no one will talk to me. Well, guess what? By not going to the meeting, no one's talking to you anyway. Okay? So you have to get out of your own comfort zone.
Okay. Now, if you really want answers about fear and stuff like that, just join the 2020.
Yes. Join the 2020 Sales Vision Group. The doors are open at the moment. They're not always open. I think they're open, right, Alex? Are they open? Yeah, thumbs up. We got a thumbs up. They're open.
He'll put a
Go
link
to 2020salesvision.com, and Alex will put that link right in there so that you can join our monthly membership group.
We had a great meeting about that last night. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, we had a great meeting. Yeah, exactly. And guess what? Cynthia's here. So, hey, Cynthia. I think I said hey to you, Doug. Doug made a comment about the rest of that quote that you mentioned. So some of FDR's meaning, nameless and reasoning unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance.
Ooh.
I know.
So I want to make one other family comment to Mark, if you're still on there. we were at Hanukkah parties 60 years ago.
You and Mark Gittimer?
Yeah, of course. There were 8 cousins, and they all went the time. Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get gelt?
Yeah.
Okay, just double check.
We were admonished. My grandfather was always admonished for giving us money, and then he always gave us more money.
Okay, so the first step in overcoming fear is identifying it and recognizing or admitting that you have a fear. The second step, Jeffrey mentioned, is getting prepared, figuring out what you need to do. Oh, that's three fingers, sorry. Figuring out what you need to do to prepare.
We apologized for the confusion.
To prepare enough so that you feel confident walking into whatever situation or bringing yourself into whatever situation you may have a fear about. The third step is stepping out of your comfort zone, like literally asking yourself, what's the worst that could happen if I do this? And then think about the fact that it's probably already happening because you're not doing it, and just do it. Like, I don't want to use their slogan because it's like political now, but literally just do it. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Just don't do it. Sometimes.
Oh, Mark says he's here.
Okay, good. So here's the challenge for wait a second. We have something to show you.
We do?
Watch this. I'm going to issue you a challenge. Stop being shallow, stop being phony, and stop being insincere in the very last words that you say to somebody. You have this great, meaningful conversation, and you're really engaged, and you go, okay, I gotta go now, okay, bye. Have a nice day, have a nice rest of the day. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, have a nice rest of the day? And then what's tomorrow, shit? No, you have to have something to say that's meaningful that the person remembers you by, because it's the last thing that you say. It's like giving a person a shit business card. Here's my shitty business card to prove I'm the greatest. No, I'm going to make certain that what I do to somebody else gives them something meaningful to think about. So instead of saying have a nice day, I'm going to say have a successful day. Or if I get out of an Uber, I'm going to say drive safely. Or enjoy yourself, or something that doesn't have a time on it. Stop telling me to have a nice fucking day, because I don't want to have a nice day. I want to have a great day. I want to have an unbelievable day. I want to have an unbelievable life, but you're shortening it to a day, like a fool. Tell me something that will impact me and that I can remember you by, or don't say a fucking thing. Modestly, I want to say that is the best thing I've ever done.
Oh my God.
I just
okay,
totally
if I
love
had
that.
A dollar for every time you cursed in that video.
Yeah, you'd have
$20. And every time we played that video,
yeah.
I'd be getting free lunch every
but
day.
You know,
just
people
saying.
Are commenting on my Who's John Galt shirt.
Yeah.
People are, they, you know, two people so far have not liked it. Two out of the thousands that have looked at it. So I'm only going to challenge you that have a nice day is a horrible thing to say to anybody under any circumstances. Just tell them to have a successful day.
Yes.
Or have a great time today. Or whatever you're doing, make sure you laugh a hell of a lot. And that way, they feel like you're original. They feel like you're not quoting some...
The only time I use have a nice day is like... jokingly when I'm telling someone to F off.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I'll be like, okay, well, have a nice day.
Yeah. And don't forget to write.
Yeah.
Right. And don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
So it's not my favorite phrase either.
Funny as hell. Do you want to say something about fear? Did you?
Well, Doug had a question here. So Doug says, can fear be a motivator?
Sure. If you're on the streets in New York and somebody's chasing you, you're motivated to run.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that happen to you that are fearful, even if it's going into a dark room, that might cause you to motivate yourself to do something different, better.
So I think that people have a natural fear of not having enough. So like not enough money to pay my bills, not enough money for my mortgage, not enough. And that is a real life fear that people have, or, you know, don't have the relationship they want. Something is lacking and that creates a fear that it's not going to happen or it's not going to come. The most successful people use that fear, use the energy that's driving off of it into a high vibe, positive way. So like you're going to have that energy no matter what. And now how can you take it and use it to your advantage? So it can be a motivator if you do it right.
And you can convert that fear into positive energy if you are
giving a speech or making a cold call or going to a networking event, you can just say, I'm not going to be fearful. I'm going to be excited. And that way you take the fear and block it out and go to the next thing and you feel great about it.
Yeah. Oh, now, so we have some really good comments here. I just want to chat with our peeps.
Sure.
So Leah loved your smile at the end, which I loved too, obviously.
Me too. Anthony- I got it from Gabrielle.
Okay. Anthony says, drive safely. I always say, thank God you told me that because I was going to drive recklessly.
Right. Exactly.
It's exactly the same. I love that. Mark says, yeah. Oh, I tell him to drive safely all the time. Okay. But I have to remind you, it's a thing.
Right.
Okay. So Mark says, you're looking like a lean, mean selling machine.
Thank you, Mark.
In that white t-shirt. And it's not Cousin Mark. It's Mark Gassert. So hello. Hey, Mark. Hey. It's Bastille Day. So, you know, Jeffrey is always in gear.
Total gear.
Yeah, I love it. And hey, Michael, we didn't say hey to you, so just want to say hey. Does listening to Gittimer count as procrastinating from making more calls?
No.
Not right now, but as soon as we're done, go back and make those calls.
Yep.
All right, I love it.
So this week's list comes from Josanne Fignon. Is that true?
I don't know. Josiane.
That is absolutely true.
Josiane Fayol.
No, that.
But we all, but again, Jeffrey, we have these fancy graphics and everything else. You didn't even give me a chance to do that.
All right, it's time
it's
to,
time
hit,
to
the
hit,
list.
Hit the list.
Seriously, my feelings are hurt.
I apologize.
I love that. Every week we bring you a list. We talk about that list. We talk about if it's valid or not.
Yeah.
And we talk about how we can extend it and ways in which we're thinking about that list. So who's this week's list
this
from?
This week's list comes from Josiane Fignon. Probably in America it's pronounced Josiane Fignon. But
or Fagon, Josiane Fagon.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
But she's from Sales Gravy, which
we love Sales Gravy,
and we love Jeb Blunt. It's titled Five Tips for Millennials on Keeping Sales Momentum.
All right, let's
start.
Nada,
what's
the first one?
All
right, the first one is environment. Environment has a lot to do with creating call momentum. If you don't have everything you need at hand, your momentum is doomed from the start. Get organized before you even sit down.
So this is obviously on a cold call thing or some kind of a phone center thing where you're sitting for the day. And I agree. Environment is everything.
Yeah. And I don't think it's not. Okay. So yes, I agree with what she has said, but I'd like to add to that. It's not just having the things you need, but it's actually creating the environment that you need. So like today we took all of the blinds off the windows in the office because I thought it was too dark. Okay. And you need natural sunlight. You need to see plants and living things. You need like the normal things like coffee and water and whatever, but you need a happy, inspiring environment. And a lot of times you need to go out and create that yourself.
I concur.
What's number two, Nada?
All right, number two is longevity. Momentum must be sustained over a certain period of time. You cannot establish real momentum if you spend less than 1 hour calling, which means you must sit for at least 60 minutes and focus on your call. Jeffrey, I know you've said something similar before.
Well, I'm a momentum guy. I am finishing a book right now, and it took me a while to get my momentum going, but I had to sit in front of it for an extended period of time. When I'm on the phone with somebody, I tend to stand up and walk around because if I'm sitting there, I lose, I don't know, some of the energy from the call. A lot of times you'll see people that are talking about making calls, telling people to stand up or have a mirror in front of you so you can see yourself smiling. So,
just open up FaceTime. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but I don't know that it takes an hour. I think you could do it in 10 or 15 minutes if you're seasoned.
Yeah, for sure. But the point is, like, don't go and make a call and then get up and do something else and send an email.
Right.
And then go and make another call and then do five other things. What you need to do is call, 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 because that's going to create the momentum that you need.
And humor will also sustain it.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to be a little bit left of center with respect to using lines and things and words that other people might find too Other people might be too afraid to use.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Number three.
Number three. It's funny you mention all of that because number three is focus. The article states, focus means saying no to distractions and getting in the zone when making calls. This commitment will get greater results. It's not always easy, but they can do it, especially if you encourage them and make it a priority. You have to fight for your own office space because workplace distractions are at an all-time high. The open space selling environment in particular creates more distractions and less privacy. In fact, there's been a notable decrease in office productivity since 2008. Not surprisingly, the cubicle is making a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to go make sales calls, don't sit in a coffee shop where there's 60 other things going on. Sit in a place.
Including coffee.
Yeah, but sit in a place where you can legit focus, where it's quiet. Take your phone and put it on Do Not Disturb. I think it's the airplane.
This is the king of distraction. Isn't it? This is...
Yeah, it's the airplane. Put it on the airplane.
Exactly. And I think that there's a... an ability for you to not be panicked if you have to put it away for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or even an hour. Your world will not come to an end if you don't deal with your phone for an hour. And when you're distraction-free, you can, better than focus, it's concentration. Concentration will allow you to zero in on what's most important and stay there. Because the minute somebody says something to you, the minute somebody texts you, the minute you get a notification on your phone, you lose your concentration and you begin to distract yourself from success. Not good.
Not good. And in your Truthful Living book, Napoleon Hill
yep.
and you talk yep. all about concentration and focus and the need for it. And he wrote this, Napoleon Hill wrote this, before the age of cell phones, before the age of computers. He like typed it out on a typewriter, right?
Yeah.
So like there were less distractions then, and he still recognized the need for concentration and focus. So this need is ever more important now with the access to tools that we have at our fingertips. By the way, Brandon says, A freaking men, why call in places where you can't hear anything? I don't know. I've never understood that. You know where's a great place to call, though? And I mean this in all seriousness.
The trunk of your car.
No, well, no.
No one's there.
I wasn't going to say the trunk. I was going to... I was going to say your car.
Oh,
because you likely don't have Wi-Fi, okay, in your car, unless you have one of those cool...
Teslas.
Whatever. No, like Cadillac, I think, has Wi-Fi in the car. But you likely don't have Wi-Fi, so you're not like on your computer being distracted. You literally have your computer open taking notes, and you call on speakerphone and have it go through your car, and it's just a silent bubble. And maybe you're outdoors where like you're outside where you're getting natural sunlight in through your car facing a tree and facing
sweating
flowers.
Sweating your ass off because there's no air on.
No, put the air on, but make sure you can hear. But I think it's a good place. It's also a good place for selfie stories on Instagram, just saying. Okay, yeah. Number four.
Number four, seeking comfort. Sitting in hours for one place requires a space to be comfortable. Make sure your rep's desks and chairs are ergonomic. The phone isn't within reach. The monitor is the right height. Double monitors are well set up. Food fuel is super important, so they should have snacks and drinks nearby, not down the hall.
I concur. The less you have to get up and move, the more likely it is that you'll make the extra call. You know, Blunt's thing is one more call.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, and I really like this person's article, so I'm not trying to shit on it at all. But like, it's not your responsibility to make sure your reps are well fed. The rep needs to make sure they have the snacks at their fingertips. So if you know you need fruits and veggies to be super fueled, bring them from home. It's not your boss's job to freaking feed you, okay?
Right. I do agree there because you guys know me. How often do I actually eat here? Like, I'm gone.
I've
as
never
soon as
seen you eat here.
Exactly.
Maybe once. One, that one time.
Exactly.
But here's the deal. The company will probably supply you with healthy things. You have to bring your own Milky Ways from home.
Yeah.
Or your own whatever your favorite thing
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you leave your Milky Ways at home now.
I do.
So speaking of home, Doug says, I work from home now, and I know you guys do too. What are the distraction challenges working from home, and how do you combat them?
I don't have distractions if I don't want them. I know how to turn them off. I mean,
no, he goes and hides in the studio.
I think you have a lot of self-discipline, Jeffrey, maybe more so than other people.
Yeah.
But like Doug, I don't think that like home is that much different than a coffee shop
right,
or an office environment.
It's not our real home anyway. Our office is two doors down.
Well, so it is our real home. We live here.
I know, but it's not like we're home now. This is not looking like home to me. It's a studio. But this is the thing that I would challenge you with here. Regardless of where you are, regardless of what your circumstances are, the faster you can get into your own zone, the more successful you're going to be. And I've just trained myself over the years to get right in the zone. Like you got me to the staff meeting today, 5 minutes after we had a different meeting, and I was already in the zone for editing my book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm challenging you, diehards, I'm challenging you listeners, that you can get in the zone if you want to. And if you don't want to, you will never get in the zone.
Yeah, I agree. It is all about desire. I used to have my whole sales team used to work remotely and from home. And I had one person that was posting on Facebook during the day that she was like riding her horses for hours. And I'm like, so how are you selling if you're horse riding? And she didn't see she didn't see what was going on. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, if you're taking personal time during the workday to do things because you're working from home and no one's watching over you, so to speak, or holding you accountable.
You're accountable to yourself.
That's
you
the
fool.
Thing. Exactly. You need to create that self-accountability so that but it only comes from within if you desire it. So like if you don't desire it that badly, then you're probably going to sit at home
right.
watching TV. But if you want to make shit happen, you're not even going to turn the TV on. Can I tell you, when I used to be a salesperson or a sales manager,
tell
and
me,
I worked
Jen.
From home
tell me.
For like 3 years, okay, in New York.
Oh.
It's not that long of a story. I never once turned the TV on. Not once. And people will be you can watch Netflix all day long. You can watch all these shows. You work from home. And I'm like, but why would I do that? I don't have time for that. Because I wanted to make the sale. And that's what the position you need to be in. And if you don't give a shit or you don't want to make the sale that bad, then maybe you're doing the wrong thing. Maybe what you're doing, you're not passionate enough about.
You know, one of the things that has struck me is I grew up in an era where first it was like four television channels, and then UHF came, or VHF, whatever it was. So now there's like eight or nine channels, and then cable came. And now the phrase is binge watch. Like you could, like all the Law and Orders or mm-hmm. all of the Losts or whatever the thing is. I don't watch any of that crap. And you know, somehow I've written 15 books in the process and you have not, because you're binge watching like a freaking idiot. What are you doing that for? Do something for yourself. So I will admit
I binge podcast listen. And if you're binge podcast listening to Sell or Die, we approve.
Yeah. But just think about, ask yourself this. Will watching this show double my income? And if it will not, then you might want to think about doing something else. And that's what focus is. And that's what concentration is. And that's what creates the new word, mindset. Where is your head wrapped around? Is it wrapped around earning, or is it wrapped around productivity, or is it wrapped around something stupid?
All right, let
me plan for the weekend. It's hump day.
Let's get to number five.
Oh, yeah.
There's one more, right?
Yes, yeah. There is.
What is it?
Superhero role model. Get your seating chart out and make sure you look at where your team member is sitting. Ideally, you want them sitting next to your sales superhero, the one whose sales buzz is viral, vast, and potent. Success is inspiring.
Is that like who you sit next to in the lunchroom?
If you have like one sales superhero, but you have nine reps, are they going to loft them? Like, I don't understand.
I want to sit next to Bob. I want to sit next to Bob.
I mean, technically, again, I guess you have a weekly rotation.
I'm going to tell you this. Find a way to get to Bob, the sales superhero, and build a relationship with Bob to where he asks you to sit next to him. That's the best way to ensure that you get the seat.
And if you want to pass on Bob's inspiration to your team, why don't you start an internal podcast? We do this for a lot of our clients where they start internal podcasts and they get the top salespeople to talk about what they're doing because all the other salespeople can listen to it while they're driving and doing other shit.
And speaking of listening to things, watch this.
Hi. You've heard the term in a New York minute, and you likely have your own definition of what it might mean. For me, it's fast, clear, direct, and successful. I'm Jen Gluckow, the author of Sales in a New York Minute. You need more profitable sales. You need better customer loyalty. Sales in a New York Minute gives you 212 pages of real-world, easy-to-implement strategies that'll help your sales and your success soar. What else am I saying? It takes way less than a New York Minute to buy the book, and it will give you years of success when you take action. So click here.
Click, click.
Buy now. Get a copy for you and your entire team. Click.
So welcome back. And Jenny is going to interact with some Facebookers.
Yeah, I want to make sure we're where I lost the page, so I'm just getting it back. I want to make sure we're saying hey to everyone who's here. So Eric Bam is here. What's up, Eric? Who else we've got? What just happened? Hold on.
Well, there you darn go. So Eric has a baby.
Oh, he has a baby?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So yeah, we have a lot of you here. Cynthia is here on her day off, and then she has a client proposal meeting after this. I freaking love that. That's awesome that you're listening to us on your day off. So thank you for that. We've got Michael. We've got some other friends. So hey, and thank you for being here.
And Mark, hope you're doing well. And
Mark is Jeffrey's cousin. I think, Mark, this may be your first time we've noticed you're joining us, so welcome.
Yeah.
We've got Jimmy, Jennifer Darling. Yeah, she says, I'm more distracted in an office with tons of people interrupting me. I agree. I think an office can be more distracting sometimes than your home, because your home, you're like home alone. It's up to you. One is about self. The other is about
All you have to do is put a little thing on your desk where your name tag would normally be, and it just says, go away. And that way people they'll be attracted to it to say, look at the sign, and then they'll go, no, I mean it. And after you do that four or five times, they'll stay away from you.
Alex likes a show called Stranger Things. Alex, what's that?
Show on Netflix, season 3 just came out.
Oh, season 3. Yeah, someone posted a lot last night about Big Little Lies or something? Little Lies? Big? I don't know. I just saw it all over my news feed.
Yeah. I'm writing a book.
Yeah. What's that called?
Actually, it's called Get Shit Done.
Yeah.
And it's all about the art and the science of productivity void of procrastination, which is basically what we were talking about. You know, diversion can cause procrastination.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to read this last comment, then we'll get to the next segment. So Anthony says, I was at a casino this weekend and thousands of people were gambling and not one person was on their phone. They are not allowed to sit, gamble, and hold their phones in their hands, so people can do it if they want. I guess can't. I even proved I can do it. Shocked myself. Oh.
Yeah.
People can do it if they want to. Shocked
win
myself.
Win or lose.
He didn't say if he won or lost.
That means
usually
he lost.
The casino wins.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, you don't think about how you can do it until you're forced to do it and be without your phone. But start challenging yourself to be without your phone a little more. I promise you, life is more fun when you're present.
And for others, it's just plain mannerly.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so
we have to go now.
We have another segment called "We're not going anywhere." We have another segment called "The Leads."
Oh,
he lost.
Don't you like how Jen talks to me? We're not going anywhere. I'm like, okay, honey.
I love you, but we have a whole bunch of people on.
Okay,
I don't want them to go
anywhere.
There. We're not leaving.
Dude,
we're not leaving. We're still
fucking
here.
Fucking stay where you are right now.
That's right.
Okay. That really is going to keep them.
All right. Who's so the leads is one of my favorite sections. It's segments of the show. It's when we bring you something that's like inspired us, given us a lead for inspiration for the week. So this week, my lead is all about my favorite sport. Dun, 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 dun. Tennis.
Oh.
Did you guys see that match yesterday? Nada, you're really good at like a rundown. Can you give us a rundown of what happened in the match?
Okay, so basically you had one really old guy go up against a robot of a tennis match. And essentially, and again, we're going to put this camera on me. Why, I have no idea. This is Adam's idea. This is Adam's idea.
Oh, yeah.
So raise your hand, Nada, so people can see
yes,
you.
This is me.
Go. Okay,
hello.
Good. Hello.
Hello. We're going to put this camera right
we're
back
inside
on you.
Okay. The bowels of Motivation Monday.
Yeah, all right.
Inside the bowels.
So what has so we're looking at the for those of you living on Mars, we're talking about the Wimbledon match.
Wimbledon match last night.
It's called
yesterday.
The championship.
That is correct.
It's erroneously called Wimbledon.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry that we have been erroneous, sir.
It's all right.
So, essentially, you had Roger Federer go up against basically the robot of tennis in Novak Djokovic in a 4-hour and 42-minute match.
Wow.
That basically, a lot of people will say they sat there for the entire thing.
But they lied.
Most of them have lied. Yes, exactly. Most
you had
of them
to
are
pee
lying.
At some point.
So
you deserve that one.
All right. So what happened, Nada? Tell us.
So what ended up happening was that despite the fact that Roger Federer, who is this great individual, 37 years old, which is old for tennis, very, very old for tennis, he just kept plugging away at it and kept getting to the point of essentially just keep going. And for something like that, that is a very inspirational thing, just to keep going, even if in the spite of the fact that you lose, essentially.
Well, wasn't Federer ahead, like at one of the match points? He was ahead.
He was ahead.
And then all of the sudden, I don't know which set it was, but like all of the sudden he lost and they went back to tie. And then they were tie and tie and tie and tie. And they played what, 12? How long was it?
They played 5 sets and they went to 13 again, the fifth tiebreaker.
It was like you're sitting at the edge of your seat, trying to figure out who's going to win. And the cool thing was that neither of them were willing to give up. Neither of them were willing to throw in the towel, be distracted, and get on their phone or do some stupid ass shit. They
hold
were
on,
totally...
I gotta make a phone. Hold on, I have to call my girlfriend.
No, what? They were, I mean, like, they were like, you need to be in a sales call, okay? They were in the sales match, in the arena, focused 100% the entire time.
And just keep in mind, thousands of people were there live and millions of people were watching. So it's not like they were doing this by themselves.
That's true.
You weren't sitting at your desk making a phone call. You're in front of literally the sports world.
But that's a great point. Maybe when you are sitting at your desk making a phone call, you should think about, imagine if you had an arena of fans surrounding you, cheering
listening
you
to
on.
Your dumb fucking sales pitch that doesn't work because somebody else made it up for you. Figure out what works and use that.
Well, this is Motivation Monday.
Oh, sorry. So I'm challenging you with this. Go back and listen to the recordings. Hopefully you're recording these phone calls of the ones that actually worked. Refine that and you're going to get more that work.
But get yourself as pumped up as if you're in the stadium, as if you're in the match, as if you're fighting your competitor for the sale. Get yourself that pumped up. And there's the comment here, Jeffrey, since you can't see the comments, that Jennifer Fuchs says that Gluckow was the tennis champ at camp.
Oh, my God. Okay, cool. All right, so it's my turn.
Okay, and your lead. Go bring it.
Yeah, last week I gave a sales webinar over the phone for a company of stores in Chicago called Pet Supplies Plus. And it was basically about customer service, customer loyalty, the wow factor, bringing people back, ringing stuff up more at the register. And at the end of my talk, I chided them because it was Chicago. I said, don't be sending me that Garrett's Popcorn Chicago mix. I only want caramel. 2 days later, this arrived.
It's like bigger than your... Wait. It's bigger than your head.
Okay, yeah. And George Lennon, who is the owner of the franchise, sent me this, and I'm forever grateful because it is full of basically uneaten because I'm... But I'm just challenging you with this. This is heroin. It is caramel popcorn from Garrett's.
Oh my God.
There's nothing better than this. People go, well, there's Nuts on Clark. No, Nuts on Clark blows. If you're in Chicago, you eat Garrett's popcorn.
Okay, well, how is this inspiring to you? Let's talk about that.
It was, first of all, it was sent as a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If I sucked, they would have sent a little thing. They sent the biggest thing you could find. That's number one. Number two, I had a blast doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're a company that is going to make a ton of money because they're going to do the right thing. And they're investing in training and they're investing in the thought process. George told me that his people talked about my webinar for another half an hour after it was over for the first time in the history of their meetings.
So
I'm grateful for that.
Who
but,
do you think felt better? I have a question for you. Who do you think felt better? You, when you received this, or them when they sent it to you?
Without a doubt, them. They wanted to prove that they were grateful, and mm-hmm. they did it with this. I mean, they could have put a check on the top of it, but they didn't. But the bottom line, you already got your check. Yeah, that's true. But the bottom line is that it was a response to something that they considered positive, and they gave me what I wanted, not what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. They didn't send you a toy for the dogs, which would be easy for them owning a pet supplies store.
Right, but
they
this morning,
sent you something that you actually love.
Go to my Instagram at Jeffrey Gittimer, all one word, lowercase. And take a look at the picture that I posted of Charlie, our dog, with their worm toy.
Mm-hmm.
And like it and comment on it. Because there'll be a couple hundred comments on it by the end of the day. But I wanted to say thanks. And the best way I could do it was tag them in a social post.
Yeah.
So it's thank you, then another thank you, then another thank you.
You're like my grandma. You're thanking people for thanking her.
Exactly.
So, hey guys, what's coming up this week?
All right, coming up this week, we have a terrific lineup. On Tuesday, we're going to talk about your email inbox and how you can write. So, like, is it a mess? Is it organized? What should you have in there? What shouldn't you have in there? And how you can write better email copy. This is a highly anticipated episode that a lot of you have been DMing me about on Instagram because we've spoken about it a few times. So I'm really excited that it's going to air tomorrow. It's with Diana Boer. And is that how you say her last name?
Yeah, and let me tell you something. She's amazing.
She is. This is really awesome. And then on Wednesday, we have Women Crush Wednesday again. Oh, I'm so excited. And this time, it's with my friend. Well, she's become a friend, but she is a fellow business owner in Charlotte. She owns a salon, and she's going to talk about her hiring strategy that makes sure they bring the right people to their team and how she's gone from, you know, a startup, so to speak, to successful business owner. She's going to talk all about her journey so that you can learn from her. She is freaking
she's
phenomenal.
She's an amazing person. And you're going to have a great time. Please continue to join us. Please share our link to Sell or Die
or
the episode. You can easily do it.
Now, listen to this, guys. This week marks the midterm of the year. Okay. It is the very middle of the year, middle of your sales. It's the middle. And this is your turning point where you're either going to go from wherever you are to whoop or okay. And so you have to decide. And to help you decide, we are bringing you an inspirational message on Thursday, all talking about your midterm assessment and how to figure out exactly where you are so you can determine exactly where you want to go.
Somebody just wrote on our page that I think texting is becoming the new email where people just ignore them. Curious, what would you guess is your average response time to a text. And here, let me give you what the answer is. If no one's responding to your text, it ain't the text, baby. It's you. They're not responding to you as a person. So let's get over that.
Yeah, that was, yes.
Oh, is that on your
Facebook? That was in my newsfeed. Oh. I love it. Okay, guys, it's time for us to go. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for sharing this episode. Thank you for giving us a review. We love you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.